for all of us as we attend these services. Starting with my family, I already mentioned Liz a little bit, and we have really been trying to keep her resting and being able to take care of the baby, so the baby is getting the nourishment he needs and growing. That has been our focus ever since we got back from the Midwest. She's been on the bed, basically, since we got back. And she was doing very well in our meetings, and then she got sick the last week and just crashed. And very unexpected. She did not expect that. It came on suddenly. And so we just went with what the Lord had us in. And that was our situation. And we said, all right, when we get back to camp, you need to be resting more. And so she's been doing that. And still, she is even in the trailer tonight. She really wants to be here. She wants to be involved with the music and different things. That was, once again, our goal, and I don't know if that will be able to happen or not. I think she'll be out a little bit, but not tonight. And we wanted this to be a normal week of revivalistic meetings. I told that to Pastor today. I said, it's really my goal that this is kind of normal in that my family is doing special music, and we're kind of doing what we typically do on the road. But as the day has gone on here today, I've just become more and more realizing this is not going to be a normal weekend for us. It's a weekend, by the way, so that's abnormal already, okay, starting on Wednesday night. But as much as I may want this to be a normal revival evangelistic meeting to where you can kind of even see what we do when we're out on the road, that's not going to be this week. And I think that's by design. I think that's what God wants. I want the kids to get up and do some special music. I think they will, as they're able. The messages are not going to be normal this week. I'm not going to be preaching messages that I already have. And so if you were excited this weekend about having our own evangelist home and hearing him preach and enjoying to see how they do their ministry when they're out, I'm sorry, that's not really going to be happening this week. I'll be preaching some messages that are fresh to me. This is one I've never preached before. Will I ever preach again? I don't know, but it's the burden that God has given me for tonight. And if you came excited to hear how Dan's preaching skills have been coming along, we're going to take a huge step back this weekend. Pastor encouraged me to keep it simple, and what a blessing that was today, because I have no choice. It's going to be that way for this weekend. I won't be preaching very eloquently, but that's good. That's good, because we're just going to try to keep it simple, to the point, and we may leave in 15 minutes. I don't know. We may dismiss very quickly each night, but I want us to be sure that we are doing what God wants us to do this weekend. Well, that's the most important thing. I love for you to experience what we experience on the road, but that's not important this weekend. What's important is that we all do what God wants us to do this weekend, that we draw close to Him, that we are obedient to Him, and that we can see His abundant blessings upon our church. We're in Genesis chapter 22, and a few hours ago I was thinking, what would the Lord have me to say tonight, and He led me to this passage. I've been reading through Genesis in my devotions. I know, Pastor, you just went through Genesis not too long ago, and so much good stuff here in the life of Abraham. And I was thinking about the needs of our church. And eventually, the Lord led me to chapter 22 for tonight. And so this is the story where Abraham had to choose to offer up his only son, Isaac, to make a very difficult choice of surrender to the Lord, to the Lord's will. Up until this point, just to review, as I did some perusing over the chapters that I've recently been reading, if you would flip back to chapter 12, you would see that there in the first few verses, God first spoke His covenant the Abrahamic covenant and his special promises to the man named Abram. Now, it says, "Now the Lord had said unto Abram, get thee out of thy country and from thy kindred and from thy father's house unto a land that I will show thee, and I will make of thee a great nation, and I will bless thee and make thy name great, and thou shalt be a blessing. And I will bless them that bless thee, and curse him that curseth thee, and in thee shall all the families of the earth be blessed." So Abraham departed as the Lord had spoken unto him. So we see here the first mention of Abraham and God beginning to move in his heart and in his life and give him this amazing blessing that we know as the Abrahamic covenant. God continued on to speak to Abraham. You would look at verse 7 and you would see, "And the Lord appeared unto Abram and said, unto thy seed will I give this land. And there builded he an altar unto the Lord who appeared unto him." God would continue in chapter 13, verses 14 through 17. Chapter 15, verse 1. Chapter 15, verse 5. Chapter 15, verse 18. 17, verses 1 through 8. 17, verses 15 through 21, and on and on. I know I lost you, but God continued time after time to give Abraham these promises, saying, "I'm going to do a miracle in your life. I'm going to do something big that is unexplainable. That's beyond human understanding. I'm going to do that for you, Abraham." 75 years old when that promise was first given. 100 years old when the promise was fulfilled in Isaac. So we see God was promising all these blessings on Abraham. We also see, leading up to chapter 22, and you would notice this beyond as well, if I understand it correctly, you would see that Abraham was a man who was building altars. He was constantly coming back and sacrificing to God. Look at verse 7 again of chapter 12. We read it already. It says, "And the Lord appeared unto him and unto Abram and said, unto thy seed will I give this land. And there builded he an altar unto the Lord who appeared unto him." Abraham was a man who was seeking God. He was ready to sacrifice for God, worship God. Notice the next verse also, verse 8. "And he removed from thence unto a mountain on the east of Bethel." You remember God called Abraham and said, "I want you to go to a new place." And so he was a man who was wandering around a lot. And here in verse 8 again, "He removed from thence unto a mountain on the east of Bethel and pitched his tent, and having Bethel on the west and high on the east, and there he builded an altar unto the Lord and called upon the name of the Lord." Then he moved on again in verse 9. So he's building altars. Building an altar again. Chapter 13, verses 3 through 4, he didn't build an altar here, but he returned back to where he had an altar built. Verse 3, it says, "And he went on his journeys and from the south, even to Bethel, unto the place where his tent had been at the beginning, between Bethel and Hai," or Hai, or however you want to say that, "unto the place of the altar which he had made there at the first. And there Abram called on the name of the Lord." He was in Egypt, a place where he probably shouldn't have been. Not good things happened there. And when he finally came back, he came back to where he should have been. And he came back to that altar that he built. So he was continuing to seek the Lord and to sacrifice to God. Chapter 13, verse 18. We see it there again. "Then Abram removed his tent and came and dwelt in the plain of Mamre, which is in Hebron, and built there an altar unto the Lord." I think as we look at the scriptures, we see people building altars. And I think we don't find anyone in the Bible building more altars than Abraham. He was constantly coming back and seeking the Lord, ready to once again sacrifice to the Lord. Now, Abram was not without his faults. We already mentioned Egypt and the lies that took place there. And then he had Hagar. That time, maybe about 85 years old, where he made a wrong choice. He followed some wrong advice. He was not a perfect man. He also had the incident with, flip over to Abimelech. Where's it at? Right. I passed it somewhere. One of these other chapters here. I'm not seeing it. But 15, 16, 17, 18, somewhere in here. Once again, he did the same thing, lying about who Sarah was. She's my sister. Well, that wasn't true. And so he was not without his faults. That would be chapter 20, I just remembered. Over in chapter 20 was where he was lying to Abimelech. He was not without his faults, but he was also doing some things that were very important. And that was, he was continually going back to God and sacrificing, ready to seek God once again. God eventually did the unthinkable, the huge miracle of sending a child, his own begotten son there, his own child through Sarah, named Isaac, chapter 21. And the Lord visited Sarah as he had said. He kept his promises. And the Lord did unto Sarah as he had spoken. For Sarah conceived and bare Abraham a son in his old age, at the set time of which God had spoken to him. And Abram called the name of his son that was born unto him, whom Sarah bare to him, Isaac. So we see Abraham up to this point in chapter 22. He went through some difficult times. He went through some times where his faith was stretched very, very far. He had to take his men to war. He had to deal with people who didn't understand who he was and why he was doing what he was doing. And he had a lot of battles that he had already faced up to this point. And he saw some great victories. He saw the fulfillment of God's promise. The son was finally here. An impossibility for humans to understand and to figure out. But God did it. God opened Sarah's womb and the son came. And now we get to chapter 22. And it came to pass after these things that God did tempt Abraham and said unto him, Abraham, and he said, Behold, here am I. And he said, Take now thy son, thine only son Isaac, whom thou lovest, and get thee into the land of Moriah, and offer him there for a burnt offering upon one of the mountains, which I will tell thee of. What an assignment. I'd like to preach a message entitled tonight, Do You Pass the Test? Do you pass the test? Here, Abraham was facing probably the greatest test of his life. It was a test to leave his homeland and go and sojourn in the land of Canaan. That was a test. It was a test to trust God over 25 years before he saw the fulfillment of God's promise in a son. It was a test, and he faced many battles, but this test was the greatest battle he would face, no doubt. He loved Isaac. And I'm supposed to sacrifice him, God? On an altar? I've been building you so many altars, and isn't that enough? And yet you ask for another one? I don't know what was going through his mind, but surely this was the greatest test of his life. And he passed it. You know the story. What a difficult test. God was not tempting Abraham, but he was testing him. We should understand it that way. Because God cannot be tempted with evil, neither tempteth he any man. And so God was not trying to get Abraham to sin, but he was testing Abraham's loyalty. For 25 years, Abraham was waiting, and God blessed, and God gave the promised son. And now he could just relax. He could say, It's all over. 25 years was a long time to wait. But God said, nope, it's not time to become apathetic. It's not time to rest. It's not time to say, this is enough. No, I have something else for you to do. I have another test for you to take. Are you going to pass it, Abraham? And God has some tests for you and I to take. He has some tests for us this weekend to take. Will we pass them? I want you to notice, first of all, that he answered the Spirit of God. He passed the test by answering the Spirit of God, first of all. It says, verse 1, and it came to pass after these things that God did tempt Abraham and said unto him, Abraham, and he said, behold, here I am. Abraham answered God. There are times in our lives when we don't want to answer God. God calls to us and he says, I'm wanting to get your attention. And there are times when we don't even want to give God any time of us. We don't want to answer him. But yet Abraham was a man who passed the test, and he did it, first of all, by answering God. When his spirit began to work in his heart and in his life, his words were being spoken to him. And Abraham chose to answer that person who was trying to get his attention. And I want to ask us tonight, friends, this is not me as an outsider coming in. These are family meetings, okay? Us together here. Would we pass the test, first of all, by answering the Spirit of God? When God asks us to do anything, are we willing to give him attention? Are we willing to say yes to what he is asking us to do? And really, friends, tonight, my main concern is the issue of surrender. Are we willing to be fully surrendered to God? I believe there's a lot of good people here. There's a lot of people here that I respect very much over many years. But just because we have been good people and have made some decisions of surrender and given our lives to the Lord for his service does not mean we are fully surrendered today. And we need to be. It starts with us answering God's Spirit. And God's Spirit may ask us to do all kinds of different things. The question is tonight, are we willing to say yes to whatever that may be? Friend, are you willing to answer the Spirit of God when he says, I want you to take one of those packets and hand out 25 of those flyers? I'm not saying everyone here has to do that or they're not right with God. But I'm saying if God's Spirit talks to you about that thing, would you be like Abraham and say, here I am. Here I am. I'm listening. Would you be willing to obey? Would you be available to God? Is the first idea here. I believe there's some maybe in our midst who would say, I'm not willing to make myself available to God. And the opportunities come up to serve him. Opportunities come up for you to take a step of faith. And you're not even willing to make yourself vulnerable, available to God. And friend, if that's you, then I tell you, you've got to pass this test for the good of our church and the glory of God. You need to choose to make yourself available when the Spirit begins to speak to you. Abraham made himself available. He said, behold, here I am. And so he began to pass the test, first of all, by answering the Spirit of God. But second of all, he acted on the words of God. Abraham put his everything on that altar that day. He put his love on that altar. his only son, he was willing not just to respond to the Lord when the Lord said, Abraham, but he was willing to put actions to those words. Abraham here did not just say, that was a good message we heard. He did not just raise his hand in the invitation. Friends, he acted on the words that God had given him to do. And he did it in a most astounding way by putting his everything on that altar. I believe this weekend, God wants us to put some things on the altar that are going to be very difficult to do. And it may be something that's really a very simple thing, a very maybe insignificant thing, or so it would seem. In the view of all of eternity and all that God is accomplishing, it may seem like such an insignificant thing that God may be asking you to do that you say, what difference would that make? Why do I even need to respond to God about that? But you do need to respond to God. Because right now, that's your Isaac. Right now, that's your everything. You say, it's not a big deal. You try to brush it off. The Spirit of God maybe is convicting, and you say, does it really matter that much? I mean, look at how they're serving God, and they're taking up the slack, and I don't need to get involved in that. But you do. Because that's your Isaac right now. You say, well, what am I loving? I don't know. Maybe it's your pride. Maybe it's the way things are. You love it too much, and you don't want it to change. But God may be calling for it to change. And so you need to be willing to answer God, say, here I am, but then also put actions to the words that God is giving you to follow. Put it on the altar. Put the thing that maybe you are tempted to hold on to so dearly and not give it up, put that on the altar. And if you're not willing, then you're not fully surrendered. And I believe as we'll see in the next point, the abundant blessings of God will not be on this church unless we are fully surrendered to God. Let's go and see that last point. We see how Abraham, he answered the Spirit of God, first of all, and he made himself available to God. Second, he acted on the words of God that God told him to do. He put his everything on the altar. But then finally, we'll see as the story unfolds, he was obedient. He was willing to take himself to the point to where he was raising the knife. And as a result of his full surrender, willing to put everything on the altar, he finally acquired the abundant blessings of God. You see, up to this point, God had given him promise after promise after promise. I will give you a land, a seed, and a blessing. I will make your name great. I will bring from you a mighty nation. As the stars of the heaven, the sands of the sea, all around these things that we cannot count, God said, I'm going to make your children like that. And so these were great blessings. These were great promises. But here at this point, I believe that those blessings would have been limited to a certain degree unless he passed this test. And here's how I believe that, and I want you to read it along with me. Let's start in verse 10. We are familiar with the story already. Abraham put Isaac on the altar. Verse 10, and Abraham stretched forth his hand and took the knife to slay his son. And the angel of the Lord called unto him out of heaven and said, Abraham, Abraham. And he said, Here am I. And he said, Lay not thine hand upon the lad, neither do thou anything unto him. For now I know that thou fearest God, seeing thou hast not withheld thy son, thine only son, from me. And Abraham lifted up his eyes and looked, and behold, behind him a ram caught in a thicket by his horns. And Abraham went and took the ram and offered him up for a burnt offering in the stead of his son. You see, God was already beginning to show his abundant blessings. God said, you passed the test. Here's a ram. Blink, there it is. I don't know if it appeared. I don't know if it snuck up behind him and got caught. But either way, there was an answer. There was God's provision. There was a miracle. Once again, God blessed. And it was as a result of his obedience. He would have never been on that mountain to see that ram caught in the thicket. Maybe the ram would have never been caught in the thicket if Abraham had not answered God and acted upon the words of God. So he saw God bless there. But notice what it goes on to continue to say. Verse 14, so we're not skipping over anything. And Abraham called on the name of that place, or called the name of that place, Jehovah Jireh, as it is said to this day, in the mount of the Lord it shall be seen. So God provided. God provides. Verse 15, and the angel of the Lord called unto Abraham out of heaven the second time and said, so now God's speaking back to him again, and he said, by myself have I sworn, saith the Lord. I believe that's a reference back to chapter 15. You remember where Abraham cut the animals in two, and God passed through them, signifying how he was of surety going to keep his covenant. And so, I believe, back there, God is saying, hey, I've made this covenant, I've sworn to you by myself, upon myself. Now, continuing on, saith the Lord, for because thou hast done this thing, and hast not withheld thy son, thine only son, that in blessing will I bless thee, and in multiplying will I multiply thy seed as the stars of the heaven, and as the sand which is upon the seashore. And thy seed shall possess the gate of his enemies, and in thy seed shall all the nations of the earth be blessed, because thou hast obeyed my voice. You see, I think God was going to give Abraham the blessings anyway, because God is a God who will not lie. God had made a covenant with Abraham, and God would keep his word. But I believe that God takes it a step further and says, because you did this today, because you passed this test, I'm going to bless you all the more. I'm going to abundantly pour out my blessings on you now. As the sands of the seashore, as the stars of heaven, it says, and thy seed shall possess the gate of his enemies. They're going to rule over the enemies, possessing the gate. And in thy seed shall all the nations of the earth be blessed. I believe God was taking the blessings of the Abrahamic covenant here all the more and saying, because you passed this test, you are going to see greater things. And so, he passed and acquired the abundant blessings of God. Friends, what do we want here at Faith Bible Church? If we would get to the point to where we just see the Isaac born, I'd say, wow. In some ways, I feel like we are in those 25 years, in that waiting period. And and for many years, as I can think of in my time here, we're waiting to see those miracles that we've been begging God for and working toward. And can I say, very faithfully, some of you, many of you, have been so faithful to God and serving Him and taking steps of faith. And I think back on just the last year or so, and the ways that you have been faithful to God and you have been striving to do what He is telling you to do month after month here. The little steps of faith that some of you have taken on an individual basis are huge steps of faith in reality. And as I think about our church, I say, wow, what some wonderful people are there who are serving God. But Abraham was wonderful too. And he had his faults. I believe we're just like him. That does not mean we're perfect. It does not mean we're fully surrendered tonight. And I ask you, what about the abundant blessings of God? Friends, it's time for it. Like I said, in a lot of ways, I feel like we're in those 25-year period waiting on God to do the unthinkable in amongst us and in our church. And we're waiting for that and we're praying for it. And let's continue to build our altars. Let's continue to sacrifice unto the Lord. Let's be faithful. Stay away from the Egypts and the Abimelechs and the things that could trip us up. Let's be faithful to God and keep plugging away, doing what we know we should be doing. But I believe God also wants to search our hearts and show us the areas in which our lives may not be fully surrendered to Him. What may that be for you? It may be some of the latest things in the church about the outreach that we want to do. I believe, you know, we have a good spirit there and we say, yes, we want to see God bring new people in that we can point to the Lord. And not so that our name is lifted up, not so that Faith Bible Church is shown, is seen as the place to be or that we are glorified in any way as to what we've built. We don't build it anyway. God does. There's times when we have to recognize that, you know, maybe I'm not fully surrendered in this area that God is trying to show me right now. And if that's true, then it's time to get surrendered. I believe it's time for me to close. But I want to bring out one more thought, stress one more thought before we finish for tonight. And that's how Abraham put on the altar his everything. We have an altar up here. And there's nothing special about it. Every church has one of these. It's the front of the auditorium, and we've commonly called it the altar in our day. It's a place where people all over take their burdens to the Lord, that altar. And I want to challenge you this week, be ready to go to the altar. Don't do it for me. I'm not trying to get numbers. I'm not interested in that. I want you to take the step, whatever it may be, that you don't want to take, so that you are fully surrendered to God. And maybe for some of you, that's been this altar up here. You never approach it. You've not been there for years. You're scared of it. You try to maybe say, well, does it really make that much of a difference? I've gone to the altar before. When I was a young person, I went to the altar and well, it didn't really change my life. Well, that's you're missing some of the point then. That altar is a special place where you can connect with God. It is a place where you can put your Isaac there, where you can take that step of faith and say, Lord, I'm going to depend upon you in this thing. God, I'm going to surrender this to you. Here it is. It's on the altar. And so I want to challenge you this week, don't be scared of the altar. It would be good for you to be there. Not just for your own spiritual growth, because for some of you it'll be a major step of surrender just to come to a place like that. But for the good of our church as well, we need to be a people who are building altars and going to them regularly. We need to be a people who are willing to continuously be surrendering to God. And if stepping out of your seat and going to an altar is a thing where you would say, I don't think I need to do that, then that has just become your Isaac. That's just become your thing that you're not willing to let your hands open for the Lord in. And so I want you to confront whatever that thing is this weekend, whatever that thing is right now, tonight, that you would want to say no to God about. And that very thing right now is what you need to fully surrender to God. Whether that's something this weekend as like coming to an altar and praying about something publicly before God and others who may be able to see you. Maybe whether it's something like the packets that we want to be handing out, the flyers, 25 to each paperclip. Taking one of those and claiming it as your own, recognizing this is a duty that God has given me for the next 24 hours, 48 hours. Whether it's getting on board with the burden that God has been giving our pastor for us to be more of an evangelistic and discipling church. Instead of you saying, well, that's good for everyone else, but I'm kind of happy where I'm at. Whether it's you getting on board with that and saying, God, I'm going to be fully surrendered and follow for once. Whatever. Whatever you would lead in that certain thing there. Whether it's you with maybe a financial decision, or you with a relationship decision with the neighbor across the street, or whatever it may be, I am burdened that we recognize the very thing that we are not willing to open our hands about. And that, we say tonight, that's the test that God is giving to me. And by His strength, I'm going to make myself available and answer Him. I'm going to act upon the words that He's giving me right now in my mind. There's my Isaac. So that upon our church friends, we can see the abundant blessings of God, because it's time. And I believe God is just waiting for us. You say, well, we've done so much. I know, and you've been so faithful. Keep building those altars and keep going. But He's waiting for us to all be fully surrendered. And so would you be willing to do that? I'm going to close after I say one more thing. Didn't I just say that? But I wanted to mention this. You see what this is? It's a paperclip. Ed and Carol have been putting together in the office these packets of flyers for us to be using this weekend. And Ed's been putting the paperclips on, I believe, probably, on the packets of flyers. And each one of these paperclips represents, if he counts right, 25 of those flyers. And these paperclips, I believe this weekend we can make as a special offering to the Lord. You say, well, it's just passing out some flyers. But for us here at Faith Bible Church, that's a huge victory if we are faithful to that. That is us hearing the Word of God and saying, God, I'm going to do that. God, I'm scared of that, but I'm going to obey. And so these paper clips, today I was thinking about it, how this could be a special offering from you to God. And when you pass out your 25 flyers, I would ask you this weekend that you'd bring your offering, your paperclip, to this altar. You put it right there. Sometime during one of our invitations. that you'd put that on the altar. So for some of us, to get a paperclip to this altar would be like sacrificing Isaac. But would we be willing to do that? We need lots of paperclips. We need lots of flyers. You say, well, is it all about getting flyers out? Is it all about handing out tracts so that we can write down, boy, we gave out 2,000 of those. Boy, we're so special. No. It's not about getting out as many flyers as we can so that we can keep a tally and say, oh, what an accomplishment. No, what I am burdened about in this whole thing is that we are fully surrendered to God. Let those flyers go and do what God has designed them to do. But let's be certain that this week there is a church here in Mount Joy, Pennsylvania, Faith Bible Church, that is fully surrendered to God. That is what this is all about. Friends, are we where we need to be as a church to receive God's abundant blessings? Do we pass the test? Let's bow our heads in prayer. Lord,